This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Barry's been tripping up to the Big Smoke of Auckland. I'm packing my bag here in Bangkok. We leave for Phuket tomorrow morning.
Yeah, well.
How come?
You always get the big jobs to go to Bangkok and I get to go to Auckland. I'm getting the short straw here. It's all right, folks. It's not funded by the Bridge Zone. We don't get a free trip to Bangkok or a free trip to Auckland.
I got a present for you.
Oh, what did you buy me?
An elephant key ring.
Really? That's to keep the keys for your elephant on?
Yeah.
It is a very big key ring. I can't see me lugging that around everywhere. Oh, no expense spared, I can tell.
Well, it was actually 5 for 90 baht. Now, how much is that?
How much?
90 Thai baht. So I'll just tell you, I got five of them. $4.60 for five elephant key rings.
So I'm actually getting 95 cents worth of, of a key gift. Ring. Woohoo!
Cute.
It's very cute. That seems remarkably cheap, actually. If you're, you know, in the market for elephant key rings, listeners, that's the place to go, obviously.
Yeah. Some of the boys had to buy some, you know, Thai pants. They're just cotton pants because you're not allowed to expose your knees at the Grand Palace where we went today.
Some bridge players have got knees that should never see the light of day, in my
opinion.
That's
right. The bridge is non-existent, really. We've only had a couple of games, and that was because the event starts on Wednesday.
What is the event called?
The Montres Series, I think it's called. M-O-M, Mum Trays, T-R-I-S. There's 9 sessions. Tell me, how did King's Birthday Weekend go?
Hey, King's Birthday Weekend, well, it's all been happening all around the country in Auckland and in Hawke's Bay and even in Otago. They've all got their little congresses on. First up in Auckland was the 10A Pairs, the King's Birthday Open Pairs, and that was won by Kevin Hu and Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin.
They were one of your people, weren't they?
I think I did. I think I might have picked them.
Oh, so you're into $2. And
second were Jan Cormack and Leon Mayer. And third were Blair and Liz Fisher. We'll just go through Auckland first, if perhaps. And then the teams, which was won by Blair and Liz Fisher, Matthew McManus and Michael Ware. We didn't have a Ware team, though, but it was pretty close. They named the teams, instead of calling them Ware and Jacob and Fraser-Hoskin, they called it Blair. So the Blair team won, and then the Malcolm team came second, which was Malcolm Mayer, Brian Mace, Graham Tufnell and Ian Barrington. They also had a Swiss Pairs today for those that didn't make the final and for those that just decided they'd walk in today for a game of bridge.
Well, my team won then because I picked the Ware team or the Blair team. So did they spell it B-L-A-R-E, did they?
No. They spelled it like Blair, B-L-A-I-R.
Oh, okay. I definitely could have thought more about that.
This was for the 3 APs today. They had a North-South winner and an East-West winner. North-South was Carol Richardson and Steve Bowie. East-West was Mark Robertson and Graham Wakefield. Well done to them.
Good work.
They also had a intermediate pairs. That was won by Brett Hart and Carol Beersley. Going over to Hawke's Bay, the pairs was won by
Scott Smith and Charles Kerr.
Oh, well done. You've already looked it up.
My friend Rob Armstrong and Gary Duncan was second. He'd be thrilled to bits with that.
The teams, that was won by the Darcy team. Patrick Darcy, Dean Soul, Gray Grushaw and Graham Norman. The second was the Henry team, Stephen and Annette Henry, Ken and Kathy Gill. Well done to them. Well, it was a bit hard. We can't give you any Otago results. They haven't got them up on the website. Okay, here we go. I've done it. So the winners of the pairs were Graham Stout and Peter Hall. from Greg Buzzard and Lindsay Glover. Unfortunately, I cannot see any teams results on there. So that's all the goss from around the traps.
Great weekend for Blair and Liz. Well done.
I wasn't really listening, but when you've got the Fraser Hoskin team at the table behind you, you don't have to listen. You just hear it. And I heard them scoring up, and I heard one score that, and it was on the last board, and it was plus 2,300.
Oh.
So I don't know what that was about, but it sounded pretty dramatic. It's always better to be plus 2,300 than it is to be minus 2,300, I think.
Four Hearts doubled by East, minus 8. Have you got a tip for me?
When Jenny was talking to her group just last week, she said that if you've got like 10 or 11 points or you know, around 10 points and you've got a 6-card or even a 7-card suit, you can open it 1, you can open it 2, or you can even open it 3. I think what she was saying was you probably should open it something. So I think it's not quite strong enough to open it at the 1 level, then open it a week 2 or a preempt. So anyway, along came a hand on the weekend and she had 10 points and she had 6 diamonds to the ace queen. And she had another ace somewhere, ace third, and she had a singleton. So she decided, well, she told them to do it. She better open it. So she opened it 1 diamond.
Yeah.
Only to hear me respond 1 heart, which she had a singleton. She's fine. She just quietly bid 2 diamonds to show the 6-card suit. Then it started getting it a bit ugly. I bid 3 clubs now, which is game forcing.
Yeah.
And it's asking you to bid something else. She really didn't have anything else. She didn't have any hearts for me. She didn't have any clubs for me. So she just thought, oh, well, I'm going to have to bid these diamonds again.
Yeah, 3 diamonds.
And they weren't really that good. There were 6 of them. She didn't have very good pips. I think the 8 was the biggest one she had. So she bid 3 diamonds, thinking, when will this end? I said, 4 no trumps. How many aces have you got?
Uh-oh.
We play Roman key card. So she had to bid 5 spades to say she had 2 aces and the queen of diamonds. She wasn't very happy about bidding 5 spades, but, well, you know, you can't really lie when partner asks you how many aces you've got.
Yeah.
So now she knew we were going to 6, and sure enough, I bid 6. Anyway, the good news was that it did make. In fact, she made 7.
Oh, my goodness.
There were only a few pairs that were actually in 6. So there you go. So my tip is practice what you preach. And if you've got a hand that you think is worth a bit, don't pass.
Whoa, here he comes again.
That's the thing.
Who's that
with?
Ethel. Is that you, Ethel?
Proud.
Where do you think you're going?
On this anatomy.
You can
give us a
on.
Tea.
Well,
yes, they call him the
street. Hear ye. Hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come
the
judge.
So we're with Judge Julie this week, and she's had lots of calls, been kept busy over King's birthday weekend. Barry's got a couple of questions that he wants you to rehash again, Judgy.
She was running around the room. Those little legs of hers were going flat out, Mariana, I'm telling you.
Oh, I could tell, yeah.
Thank you.
We're just talking about one of them where she was quite happy about getting called, where the guy that called her, we can probably name him. He's not going to sue us. It was Jeremy.
Yep.
And Jeremy called Julie. It was something about unauthorised information. What did he say, Julie?
They had a really complex conventional auction, which I can't remember all the ins and outs of. At some point, his partner opened, and at some point, he made a bid that showed that he had 4 spades.
Right.
All right? He made a double that said he had 4 spades of the opponent's bid. And that got described by his partner as showing values. And at the end of the auction, they'd ended up in 4 spades, doubled and redoubled.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. So before the opening lead was made, and Jeremy knows the rules quite well, he is qualified as a director, he called Patrick to the table to say that there was a problem in the auction, because before the opening lead is faced, some of the time we can give one of the people back their last call, their last bid or double or whatever, and they can change their mind about what they do. And some of the time the auction will even proceed another round or two, but what happens then is we get something that is likely to have been the right thing to happen. Unfortunately, in this case, getting the call back for the person who was last to pass just didn't change what had happened in the auction. So that wasn't the remedy that was going to work. So Jeremy called, he explained really clearly what all the bids meant. They sorted out nothing could be done, so away Patrick went and they played the hand. So it was four spades redoubled, making four. Was the end result of the auction.
I know this is tough, but what was the score for four spades redoubled, making four?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember if it was vulnerable or not.
It was in the thousands?
That's not something you want to see. One of the things about it was that his partner had shown diamonds and then he'd bid spades, and Jeremy had, and in the auction, had bid diamond supporting partner and then he'd bid spades. So it looked very much in a natural auction, like he couldn't have four of them.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So there was a lot of things, and it wasn't a stupid thing that the opponents did. It was quite a reasonable thing. This is one Patrick brought up as well. He said if the people at the table had been a lot weaker on one side than the other, then he might have appealed his ruling himself, which a director can do. You have to always make a ruling when you're called to the table, but you can say that it's going to go to an appeal committee some of the time.
Yeah.
Right, because you get a situation quite often with weak opponents against very strong ones, or people that they think are strong, where they just think they're wrong and they're too nervous. And the process of appeal can be quite nerve-wracking. It's not right that they shouldn't get the justice they deserve. So sometimes the director will appeal their own ruling very, very rarely. But in this case, he didn't need to. So he ruled in favour of the non-offending side. It was marginal which way this would go, but the non-offending side deserved the benefit of the doubt, which they got. And it went to appeal, and the appeal committee upheld the ruling, because that's what appeal committees are there for. It's not to say you're a bad director or anything else. If you are a director, your judgment is not always the best. In a lot of cases, or there are other things that come out and a panel of people make better decisions. So appeal committees are part of the normal judicial process of what happens when there is a dispute at the bridge table.
The thing about a director being able to appeal his own ruling, ask for an appeal himself, I mean, what sort of a masochist would do that?
Well, the thing is that some of the time it's really hard, and you do want to get that panel of people to help you make the right decision. But director always has to make a ruling for there to be something to discuss and why they've made that ruling. There are some interesting situations, very, very rare. When this law first came in, quite often it ended up being used when directors didn't want to make a decision. It's actually not there for that reason at all. All right. But the other really good thing was Jeremy calling and doing the right things about there'd been misinformation at the table. It might have affected the opponent. So the offending side, which was his side, they called the director to the table so they could point out to the opponents, and the opponents got all of the things that they might be able to do, though in this case, unfortunately, it didn't help. And that is really, really useful. And often we get better results because when you call at the time, all right, so there's a hesitation and it's not agreed at the table, and you call at the time, everyone is allowed to think. You don't know whether it's good, bad, or whatever it's going to be. But if you call at the time, then the matter of whether it has occurred or not in general can be verified. And then everything continues. And then at the end of play, if needed, you can call the director to come back and they will go away and have a look at it and make a ruling. You're not dobbing people in or anything. When people stop to think, they... unfortunately, that tells their partner they've got something to think about. And that information is information their partner's not allowed unless they get it through the bidding. So if you stop for a while and then you make a bid, very, very often, not always, but very, very often, that solves any issue around that information going to your partner that they're not entitled to. And then on the other side of the table, 99% at least of people that have had a partner hesitate, they're looking at their hand and their hand is actually getting better. Their glasses are getting a little more tinged pink and rose coloured as time goes on. And they're thinking, you know, I'm thinking, should I, shouldn't I bid? And they're starting to subconsciously verge onto the I'm going to bid. Most people don't do things deliberately. They are really happy that they would be going to bid, and they would be going to bid most or all of the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But when we make the judgments that we make, the law requires that we look at the standard of the field or the player. I can never quite remember where we are in those shifts of the law, and about what a very large majority of people would seriously consider doing or actually doing. And that's not about individuals, what they would do irrespective. So it's applied against a broader sense.
Yep.
Just for the record, what actually happened in the end? So it went from four spades doubled, redoubled making.
Well, the thing was, would the double have happened, right?
Yep.
If they'd known that at the very low level, that the auction meant that they had an eight-card spade fit, and what the subsequent auction therefore meant in terms, I mean, they can ask, but they had that wrong information about it just showing values, not about it showing anything specific, then they might not have chosen to make that double if they'd had that information.
Yeah.
And is a really difficult thing, because the non-offending side get the benefit of the doubt. All
so right? The double and the redouble were taken away.
Well, yeah, because if there's no double, you can't redouble. It's really simple. Would they have doubled or would they have passed? All right. And they didn't get the opportunity to make that decision, because the information they got when it was about the context of the bidding, they got the wrong information.
Okay.
So just that simple. I mean, Barry, today, Jenny managed to give him this explanation of a bid, right? Which affected the result on the board.
It was quite interesting. It wasn't just the final contract. It affected the way that Declarer played it, because he ended up one level higher than he would have been. And so he tried to make it and went two off.
Yeah.
But if he'd been one level lower, he had a surefire way to make the lower level.
Yeah. And also because of they opened a diamond or something and Barry overcalled a no trump, and Jenny thought it was the miners for reasons best known to...
Because they were playing a system where they were playing mini precision at some vulnerabilities and two of her one at the other. So she got into her mind, yeah, they were playing precision, and over a precision opener, one club opener, one no trump shows miners, but he had actually opened a diamond, right? So anyway... So she alerted it as minus.
All these things happen when you play Weird and Wonderful Systems, as I know, because I do. And opponents get things wrong, and life can be interesting. So Barry made a normal one no trump overcall 15 to 17 or 18 or whatever it is that he bids on. I don't know what Barry bids on, but there we go. So they got their way up to three hearts, which they wouldn't have done if they'd known Barry had a strong no trump. I mean, it wouldn't have made any sense in the auction. And when bringing the contract back to two hearts, they also knew that Barry had 15 to 18 points.
Right.
And so from the lead and various other bits, he definitely would have played it a different way. So again, that was quite interesting. Yeah. And it was just, these things happen.
Judge Julie at the table, and I thought, oh my God, the axe is going to fall any minute. But it was all, Yeah. It wasn't entirely a happy ending, but the Declarer made his contract.
Oh, sounds interesting.
So another great example of unauthorised, well, not unauthorised information, of misinformation.
So, you know, information around, so when we're playing at the table, the information we are entitled to is the information from the bidding and the play. And we are entitled to the opponent's agreement about what bids mean. We don't need to know what someone thinks they mean, because that is not necessarily the truth. And if you do tell someone that you think something means something and you're wrong, you create a big problem for yourself later on.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really importantly, when you are sitting there and you think, I know this means something, but life of me, I can't remember, or I'm pretty certain it's this, but I don't know. If you call the director, they will send you away from the table and they will get your partner to tell them
right.
what your yep. agreement is, and the whole thing is no longer a nightmare for everyone. Right.
I had an instance today, Judgy. So we're playing one no trump. So we open one no trumps. We have
yep.
two clubs by partner as stamen.
Yep.
Two diamonds by partner is game force. Two
yep.
hearts is to play. Two spades is to play.
Okay. Well, very
and
different.
So
yep.
I opened one no trump.
Yep.
And my partner bid two hearts. So
yep.
I alerted it. And
why?
My, because it's to play. It's not a transfer.
Well, that's normal. That's absolutely what it is normally.
Okay.
Right?
I thought that you had to...
you alert transfers.
Pardon?
You alert transfers. If you don't alert the bid...
Right.
...then it's not a transfer.
Okay. So I thought because I knew that it was hearts and to play...
Yeah.
And we weren't playing it. I thought that you had to alert it. So I alerted it.
Yeah, now it gets very confusing.
Yeah. And then the guy on my right, after all, because it went past, and then he said, why did you alert it? And I said, because it's just to play.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I thought it was a transfer.
Now that's his problem. Because you alert something, like if you alerted your two diamond bid as
yeah.
being a game course bid, it's not a transfer to hearts.
Yep.
So people are going to assume something they shouldn't necessarily assume. But if you are playing something in that sort of area where everyone assumes the wrong thing, generally let them know that you're not playing transfers over one no trump.
Oh, I
okay.
See.
And
Yep.
then when you alert it, you've forewarned them, you've pre-alerted them to something that is unusual. Active ethics.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
We teach beginners, if it goes one no trump, two hearts, it says shut up, partner, right? I'm weak with a long suit. So not alerting the bid shows that it is weak.
Okay.
I played many years ago with my son who didn't want to play transfers, and he also decided he wanted to play a five and one no trump, that two of a suit was 10 plus points and natural, which no one ever expects. So I would alert it and say we're not playing transfers.
Had a quite an interesting situation today, and I don't know whether the person should have said this, but they did. His partner opened one no trump and he bid two diamonds, which his partner alerted, right?
Yep.
And the guy who'd bid two diamonds then sort of said to us, this is a serious alert.
Oh.
And the reason he said that is because it wasn't a transfer. It was something
yeah.
else. It
yeah.
showed four spades and a longer minor or something or other
yeah,
or
yeah.
whatever.
There's a
You
whole
know,
raft of
and so
stuff.
I don't know whether he should have said that, but I thought it was quite a good thing to do, really, because...
Yeah. So the best thing is at the beginning when you sit down and say we don't play transfers for argument's sake. And then
Okay.
if you go, oh, no, Trump, there, and it's alerted, you've been forewarned that it possibly isn't a transfer. The problem with saying what a bid means when you make it like you should ask, because that also comes up in various contexts, is that you're also giving your partner information. And most of us are sort of comfortable about what's happening here some of the time. Some of the time it's not going to be that comfortable because people don't know who you are and what you play. And you explaining that your bid isn't something is really, really bad. You should never, ever do it. Although you want to help your opponents, a lot of the time your desire to help is going to get you into trouble if you're not
Okay.
careful about it. So pre-alert, say to people, we're not playing transfers, we do other things or something like that before you pick
Yep.
up your cards for a round.
So I don't have to if it's just to play?
Nope, you don't have to.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. It's natural. We'd alert it if it was a transfer or not natural. And to everyone listening, don't think that what your opponents are alerting is what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
If you think you want a bid and you need to know, then you're going to have to ask. If you don't need to know, wait till the auction's ended and then ask what it all means. Don't assume it is what you think it is.
Yeah,
Okay.
true.
Really
All
bad
righty.
thing.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay.
We'll let you go to bed.
Wonderful idea.
All right. Well, thanks, and we'll catch you probably sometime next week.
Okay, righty-o. We'll have a good week.
good news. I was talking to Alan Morris, the chairman of New Zealand Bridge. He told me that he will come on the show, but he's going to wait till after their AGM, which is being held on the 14th of June, not very far away.
Lovely.
Just before we go, I've got a test for you, Mariana.
What's that?
How many years do you think that Alan Morris has been the chairman of New Zealand Bridge?
Oh, 10?
Pretty good. It's 9, actually.
9?
So he's been the chairman for 9 years, and he's coming up to the end of his tenure. He'll be just back to being a bridge player in another little while.
Really? So you can't do any more than 10?
I don't know that. I think you perhaps can. I think 10's probably enough.
Really? He's done a good job while he's at the helm.
He has. Been he's one of our best chairman, I think.
Pretty well liked.
I don't know who is going to be the next chairman. It won't be Alan.
I didn't think that he would stand down. I thought it'll be just going ahead again.
You thought he'd be there for life?
Yeah. Bit like the bridge zone, Alan.
We will talk again next week.
Catch you later. Have fun, everybody. Yeah.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.